If you got your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Book of Romans, chapter 12. I love reading the Pauline revelation because it's the explanation of the proclamation that Jesus gave us when he was on the earth. The book of Romans, chapter 12. And I really love this chapter. It is such a blessing of the Lord. Romans, chapter 12. You know, being a minister of the gospel 36 years, I've been preaching 36 years. I've been in full-time ministry 34 years. Probably the most asked question to Kathy or to me or to anybody that's around me is, Brother Jesper seems to be full of joy all the time. Well, I realize what makes life good. And I want to talk about that this morning. Now, last night, I preached on why is it my giving working? And brother, you ought to get a copy of that. Because most of you are giving and you can't figure out why you're not living under an open window of heaven. You ought to get to a point where you don't even have any need. See, well, that explains that on Saturday night. Then I just preached, go the extra mile, it's never crowded. I preached that just in this morning service. That'll bless you. I want to stay in the teaching mode. It seems like I've been in this teaching mode for the three services that I've been here. But I found out what makes life well, what makes life good. You know, it's the good life. And it's not money. It's a spiritual concept. Actually, it's a fruit of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And Paul's very analytical in his thinking. And he says this in Romans chapter 12. Let me get to where I'm at here. Let me see where I can start. Verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, verse 18, where I want to get to. If it be possible, underline that in your Bible, because sometimes it's not. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let me say that again. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, which makes life good. I want to talk about that peace that makes life good in your church life. And I want you to take some notes, write that in my church life, and leave some room. In your home life and in your relationship to the outside world. Because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I do expect people not to like me that are not born again. If they hate Jesus, they will hate me. They will hate you for his name's sake. But there's a scripture in the Bible that says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. It didn't say make him a friend. And I think sometimes Christians try to make enemies friends. That's not your job. But if they're at peace with you, then that's scriptural. And that's what Paul is saying, if it be possible. Because the men of that day, the Pharisee, the Sadducee, the Zealot, were very jealous of Paul's intellect and naturally stirred up people against him to beat him. He'd been beat five times with rods, every kind of thing you could think of. But yet he had a good life as he wrote the two-thirds of the New Testament. So write this down, and we're going to deal with your church life, your home life, and your relationship to the outside world. The title of this message is, What Makes Life Good? So ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. I am at peace with myself. I'm at peace with God. And I'm peace with him, from him, and when I'm not around him. The peace of God, the peace from God, the peace with God. So I really enjoy myself. That sounds a little arrogant. No, I do enjoy my life greatly as a born again believer. That doesn't mean, God does some things that sometimes I don't understand. And I forget that one time. I said, why do you do that? He says, I'm a father. That's what fathers do. Because most of the time when you're being raised, sometimes you'll do something your kids just flat can't understand why until they become a father or a mother. Or a grandfather, or grandpa. And I'm really a good grandfather. I'm not good with the discipline because I don't like it. I let Kathy do the heavy stuff. I'm L grandfather. In other words, if something needs to be done, we get it done. And she's figured that out now. So if her mama tells her no and her Mimi tells her no, she comes to me. And I fix everything. And sometimes it doesn't cause a lot of peace in the home life. But that's okay. I was born before all of them were born. And I have a $100,000 brain. Never thought of it like that, but okay. And it's not brand new. So write this down. Peace is a matter of relationship to our total environment. We're going to start there. Peace is a matter of our relationship to our total environment. What does that mean? Let's start with in our church life. The word says in Ephesians 4:3, you can go to it later, write this down. The word says to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So peace has a bond. You can tie up trouble with the bond of peace. I have been very fortunate in my ministry to cross denominational, non-denominational, and interdenominational churches. I don't try to get people to believe what I believe. Because, you know, they're going to believe what they want to believe, whether I like it or not. But I let my light shine. Now, I personally believe in prosperity because I was once broke. And broke ain't no good. It means exactly what it says, broke. And John said in 3 John, he said, I love when I hear that my children are walking in truth. And in 2 John, he talks about walking in truth. And in 1 John, he talks about walking in truth. What is that truth? Go read it. It's 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. Be in health, even as your soul prospers. Do you know the secular world believes that, but the church world doesn't? When are we going to start believing like the secular world? When are we going to take poverty and put it in its place, which is a curse? Yet the secular world don't mind. Many get excited when Wall Street jumps up 200 points. Everybody get excited, my Lord, when all of a sudden jobs are available. But the church still, for some crazy reason, through distortion and genetically altered Christianity, thought that poverty was a blessing when it's been a curse from day one. So peace is a matter of relationship to our total environment. Now let's deal with it in our church life. The word says to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when I go to preach, if I'm in a Baptist church, the Lord usually doesn't tell me to preach on speaking in tongues. Because that's going to cause some problems. Because now they want to talk to me doctrinally and theologically. Some people says it's of the devil. I mean, they'll get real specific with it. And they'll come up with the other doctrine. Do you believe once saved, always saved? No, I believe once lost, always lost. Figure that one out. I'll give you something to think about. Do you believe in eternal security? Certainly. Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. Because who can separate me from the love of God? But I don't believe once saved, always saved. Why? It makes a provision for the flesh. Anything, in my opinion, that makes a provision for the flesh is not of God. I was on Daystar one time. And for some crazy reason, the church is trying to look for things to do like the world wants to do. Now, I came out the world. I was a good sinner. I was very good at sinning. I will never go to hell paying tithe. I could use that money to do something else. You'd be surprised how many people go to church, pay tithe, and go bust hell wide open. Because they're rotten to the core inside. Have no peace, possession of adequate resource whatsoever at all in their life. Hey, let me give you an example. I was on Daystar. Joni Lamb was on there. Everybody's talking about drinking. Now, I used to drink a fifth of whiskey a day. That's during the day. They ain't counting at night. That's a fact. I've been drinking since I'm 6 years old. Well, I come from a drinking family. You understand? We never had a drought when it come to booze. That's true. I mean, just the way it was. I mean, you know, my grandfather would, you know, he'd give me a little early times whiskey. As a small boy, because grandma would have a flaming fit, but it just happened. Well, to make a long story short, I would happen to be on Daystar, and I said, Lord, don't ask me about this wine issue. I don't want to talk about that stuff. You know, but there was a bunch of them. And, you know, they said, well, you know, in Australia, it's okay to drink now as long as you don't get drunk. This is from the Pentecostal people. So I'm just sitting there. I said, don't ask me nothing. I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to say anything. So I'm just sitting there and listening. And I saw that the conversation, that everybody's trying to figure out to do something like the world does. So what's next? Women? I mean, how many of these lines are we going to cross over? So finally, and I knew it, Joni Lamb looked at me and I went, oh, Jesus. She said, Brother Jesse. I said, yes. What do you think about wine? Was it fermented? You know, all kinds. You know, they do the whole doctrinal thing. I said, well, let me just ask a question to everybody. There was four preachers there. Do y'all want to drink? I said, you guys don't even know how to sin good. You want to know how to sin? I can teach you to sin, buddy. You mean you're going to go? I said, let me explain something about wine. They said, what do you think about it? Now, you can believe what you want, do what you want. I said, I don't look for scriptures, Joni, in the Bible to appease my flesh. I look for scriptures in the Bible to crucify my flesh. I said, so what do you guys want to do? What's next? And Johnny says, now, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Because there's sometimes in scriptures, God kind of gives you a leeway to let you make up your own mind. So why don't you take the crucifixion side and say, no, I'm not going to allow my body to do those things. Now, I know what it is to be drunk, because I was so drunk one time, I put a quarter in a parking meter and gained an hour. I said, wow. I got stopped by a cop one time. He drew a line on the concrete. He said, walk that line, boy. I said, not till you put a net under it. I was drunk, man. I was messed up. That's before I was saved. You understand what I'm saying? That's drunk. But you know what? The word says, keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I tell people this. I said, I get so full of the Spirit of God that I don't need nothing the world has to offer. Now, if you want to get into a doctrinal, theological point of view, we can do that all day long. And they've been fighting that for 2,000 years. But I like to have a clear mind on everything I do. But I'm going to keep the unity and the bond of peace. So a lot of times I go and people say, would you like, why don't you go out and eat dinner? I know they're drinking. I know. If I name them, you know them. I said, no, I make sure I got something I got to do. Because they don't understand. I had a problem with that. I'd get up in the morning and have pancakes and eggs and drink bourbon. See, how you can do that? When you drink long enough, it tastes like milk. And so I said, I refuse. And, you know, people say, well, you ever struggle with that? No, because I let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin in my life. See, that's what makes the life good. So I'm at peace with that. You understand what I'm saying? So I walk in that, in the bond, in the unity of the Spirit with people. Now, some people say, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I said, well, you never will. I don't believe in prosperity. You're going to be broke all the days of your life. I don't believe in healing. Well, they got a hospital room for you. You do what you want to do. Why do you believe in prosperity? I said, to give God pleasure. Now, they're not waiting for that answer. They go, so they think I'm just trying to get something. No, no. The reason why I believe in prosperity and wealth is to give God pleasure. Psalms 35:27. He get pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So the only reason why I have a nice plane, a nice car, and I live in a nice house, so God goes, woo, Jesse, can I come over? Got it? Gives him pleasure. When I see my granddaughter dressed up beautiful, my Lord Jesus, we buy dresses all the time and all kinds, it just gives me pleasure. When Kathy puts on a beautiful outfit or something like that, it gives me pleasure. When Jody or my son, it just gives me pleasure. It's not like, well, look what we have. I ain't got anything to do with that. When I see someone else dressed up real nice, if that's what they like, if you're wearing a real Louis Vuitton purse, and it looks like since Lynn's gone to France, she's probably going to do some seeding into Louis Vuitton down there. Because that's where the original is, you know. So a seed. Help out the economy. Think of it the good way. You know, in other words, it's a blessing when I see people blessed. I don't know why anybody gets mad about that. Because you see, I'm at peace, which makes the good life. Write this down. When opportunities are given for the free expression of opinion and feeling, we must never forget Jesus came to bring peace on earth. So when people disagree with me, I shouldn't get angry. Why? Because when opportunities are given for the free expression of opinion and feeling, instead of trying to get them to believe what I believe, I realized I must never forget that Jesus came to bring peace on the earth. He's a peacemaker. Now, there's some things people say, do you believe that, Brother Jesse? No, I don't. And then they want to kind of get into a little fight. No, I'm not going to get in a fight with it. Because you have a right to have free expression of your opinion. That's what I love about the United States of America. One of the hardest things for me to look at is someone burning the flag. It irritates me to no end. I want to fight them. I'm not going to lie. I want to hit them. I know some people that will do it for me. I don't even have to be involved. But you can't do that. Because you see, the United States of America says freedom of speech. Freedom of expression, which means this. I don't agree with you at all, but I will defend your right to the death to do it, which is very, very hard. But the Constitution of the United States, you have freedom of speech. I didn't say I like it. I don't like this food called curry. People are trying to get me to like Indian food. I don't like Indian food at all. People get mad. Well, you shouldn't say that. No, I just told you the truth. We're not going to an Indian restaurant. Yeah, but I'm going to bring you where Princess Di went. Princess Diana had some of my tapes. Did you know that? I didn't know that till after she passed away. And this particular person, I won't take you what she eats. It was the most miserable night of my life. Finally, I said, y'all got any peanut butter and crackers around here? I don't like Indian food. I don't know why I don't like it. Finally, I just said, you know, I don't really like it, but I'm not going to destroy you. Go ahead and eat, enjoy yourself. Because I really came here to fellowship with you. See, that's the bond, the unity, the bond of peace. Well, what do you like, Brother Jesse? I like cholesterol. I know it ain't healthy, but a piece of fried chicken? Ooh, Jesus. Fried chicken. Anything fried. Donut, fry it. Just fried. Well, that's not healthy. I know. But how much longer are you going to live? Let me tell you, 3 months. I'm going to eat some fried chicken. That's what they say, 3 months. But that's okay. So when opportunities are given for the free expression of opinion and feeling, it's fine with me. We must never forget that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. And somebody's always trying to get me into some debate. Debates make discussions, decisions make choices. I prefer to make a decision. You see what I'm saying? There's some things people preach I don't believe. I don't believe in sloppy agape. I believe in grace that's free, but not to the point just so you can go sin. Excuse me. I like to go fast, but not as fast as Jerry Savelle. Jerry Savelle, he liked to live fast. He liked to drive fast. Whoo, he liked that. I just watch him fly fast. Fly, Jerry. Now, I like fast, but I don't like the way it feels sometimes when you're starting to lose control. You see what I'm saying? Let's go. Let's rent one of them nice cars. No. Let you drive it. I'll stay out there and watch you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have a motorcycle that probably can do 140 miles an hour. I don't drive it like that. Why? That's a dumb question. Why? To me. But there's some people, they live for that. I don't get angry at them. That's what you want to do. Do it. I preach funerals. You got the revelation? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not mad at them, which brings me to my next point. Peace is a condition of inward harmony. Write that down. Peace is a condition of inward harmony. In other words, you have peace with yourself, and that's harmony. I love it when people sing and the harmony's right. When they do a 1-3-5, 1-3-5, and they do it, but it's when somebody just goes off key. It destroys the harmony. That doesn't mean they can't sing. You just put them in the back and cut their microphone off. They don't know. And that might happen at Living Word. I don't know. And maybe, I don't think so. This is a pretty good group here. But I've seen some people that made a joyful noise. It was a noise. So I would lean over and say, just cut the microphone, let them sing. They ain't gonna know the difference. Just enjoy themselves. Peace is an inward harmony. Peace is a condition of inward harmony. Watch this. If you are hurt or offended or wrong, the ability to forgive is resident within you. So when people hurt me or try to offend me or wrong me, I realize I have the ability to forgive. I ain't saying it's fun, but it's wonderful to have that ability. Because see, you don't let that person control you. That's why I get irritated with people bringing stuff up that happened 200 years ago and it's still controlling you. Go on. Now, I know that sounds a little hard. I had a guy tell me he was 65. I'm 63. He's 65. He's older than me. He said, you know, I was molested when I was 5. Yeah. Get over it. Now, I'm not trying to be, I know that sounds hard. No. For 60 years, the devil has beat him about that. Now, I'm not saying that was probably a very tragic thing. Don't misunderstand. I hate that. But my God, forget those things which are behind. Don't let that control you all the days of your life. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to tell you something you ain't going to like. Forgive the person that did it. Well, they did. Well, forgive them dead. You'd be surprised. It will change your life forever. I don't mean that to sound rude or hard, but I see things that control people constantly. I tell people that come into church, I will not have people in this church on government assistance. Why? Because I preach the overflow. I say, the government needs us. We need to assist the government instead of the government assisting us. Now, if you want some government cheese, go buy some Velveeta. That's better than that government cheese. Now, government cheese tastes good, but it'll lock you up about 5 days. You need a healing on that government cheese. I don't know what they're putting in that stuff, but I want to tell you something. It'll shut you down, son. How many anybody ever eat government cheese? Hold your hand up. Make a good cheese sandwich, don't it? Lord Jesus. I stand on a knife and try to cut the stuff. That tastes good. And thank God that we have a government that can help people. But it's time that we assist the government. You follow my point? So I tell people, I said, listen, live by your giving, not by your living. We'll get you out of debt. And the amount of debt that you were in, we'll have that in liquid in some financial institution to do whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, where you want to do it, and how you want to do it. See, that's at peace. And don't tell me you can't, because you can. You can do all things through Christ. So when are we going to accept that? All things. So when people say, boy, I tell you, it don't look like it's working, I'm doing all things through Christ. This is the through Christ time. But it's coming to pass. So peace is a condition of inward harmony. This is in your church life. If you're hurt, offended, or wrong, the ability to forgive is resident within you. So I just forgive people. I had one man say, well, I'm not there yet. I said, well, you need to get there. Because it's delaying your blessing. It's delaying your manifestation. It's delaying what you've been believing for. When all you got to do is say, Father, I forgive. Now, I've had some terrible things done to me in my life, but so what? So what? It didn't make any difference. I mean, you know, I couldn't change it because it's the past. And why should I even be looking at the past? Because the past never sees the future, so I just go forward. You follow my point? Me and my dad, my dad and I went to heaven 3 weeks ago. We had some strong differences growing up. One time, we never got spanked. We didn't have spankings. We had whoopings. Anybody ever remember that word, whoopings? Which means you could hear that switch coming. Whoop, 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 before it hit you, boy. That's a whooping. Anybody ever had whoopings? Oh, yeah, I had a whooping. When I was kind of, I said, listen, when I got a little older, I guess maybe 10, 11, my daddy made me a man, got me a job. But he was, I said, now, daddy, says, I'm now paying rent here. I was paying rent to stay in my own house. I was 11 years old. I was working 8 hours a day and going to school. I was going to work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 11:30 at night, Monday through Friday. And now you can't do that now because of child labor laws. And then on Saturday, I worked from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. That's right. So he said, you're going to pay $10 a week or $40 a month or $50, depending on if it's a 5 week month, to live here. Well, I got to thinking, since I'm paying rent, then bless God, I'll be able to do what I want to do. So one time he wanted to whoop me. I said, that ain't going to happen no more. But he did it anyway. I said, all right. So I drained all the water out of his radiator and burned his truck up. He got mad. I said, it gets worse. Since I'm paying rent here, you want to make me a man? I'm going to make my own decisions. And my mama jumped in. She said, see that, Paul? See that, Paul? Shouldn't be letting them kids do that. Well, he did that for me and my oldest brother. Now, I shouldn't have done that. Don't misunderstand me. I was wrong to do that. But, you know, he ain't never did it before. I said, because you never know what I'll do next. You understand? Boy, don't you get my face. I said, Dad, I'm not trying to get in your face. But since I'm paying rent, buying my own clothes, you want me to be a man? That's called man up, huh, Dad? You respect me, boy. I said, I definitely will, Dad, but you respect me too. And you know, we never had a problem after that. Because after you burn up someone's truck, they get the revelation. I ain't saying it's fun. I ain't saying it was right, but it worked. That's why I want to get to the home life. This, to have life good in the home life. Write this down. Sometimes a marriage disturbs its peace. Let me say it again. Now we're in the home life. Sometimes a marriage disturbs its peace. Always be on guard against sarcastic words which sting and wound. You see, sometimes a marriage will disturb its peace, and it's normally done through sarcastic words. And they sting and wound. There's some things we should do, gentlemen. If we don't necessarily agree with our wives, just shut our mouths. Best thing, because if you bring something up, And there's some things your wife may ask you that you cannot win on. You can't win. So don't answer it. Does this dress make my butt look big? You're not going to win. You're not going to win. That's why they're so funny on commercials. Because you don't have to say nothing. If you just look weird, what? What? Nothing. Nothing. I like butts. I like butts. I find women always just trying to destroy the good parts. I say, look, Kathy, whatever. Whatever. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? Nothing. Nothing. You see, the flag is up. Well, that can disturb peace in the marriage. Like the joke. That's why Max switched it around to the man. See? That lady got the revelation right there. Praise the Lord. Sometimes a marriage disturbs its peace. Always be on guard against sarcastic words, which sting and wound. They will. They will sting and wound. So I try, and sometimes I miss it, Mac. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. Sometimes I just get mad. And I look at her and I say, let me tell you something. What? And I done made a mistake right there. And then sometimes she says some sarcastic things to me. Not, just a few days ago. She was mad at me about something. She said, I want to tell you something. I said, well, go ahead, mama, do your thing. Now, that's throwing gas on the fire. That's disturbing the peace of the marriage. She said, I ain't that stupid girl, young girl you married. I said, I miss her. I liked her a lot. She was wonderful. Kathy said, she's dead. And I would say 99% of any argument that I have with my wife is usually about ministry. Constantly. Something at that office, something going on. The other day I took her out to lunch and something on her mind. She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, whoa, stop. I pulled her car on the side of the road. I'm going to tell you something. That problem ain't going away and it's going to be there Monday. We ain't bothering with that mess today. We're going to have a nice time. Now, where would you like to eat lunch? Let me be a blessing to you today. And vice versa. And you know, we rebuked the devil in the name of Jesus. We had a great day that day. You follow my point? So you have to be careful. Because such sarcastic words will pull something up that you forgot 34 years ago. Which brings me to the next point. This is in our home life. We must drive out the spirit of suspicion. Write it down. We must drive out the spirit of suspicion, which makes us imagine bad motives when there are none, when there are no bad motives. Makes us imagine they are. So you drive out the spirit of suspicion. Now, I know I'm not good with discipline when it came to my daughter. My daughter's going to be 41 years old in October. And I've never told her no, not one time. Jody, my daughter. So naturally, I haven't told my grandbaby, who's 4 and a half years old, no, neither. I let Kathy do that. Now, I know it ain't right. Because Jody would say, Daddy, Mama said, I can't have that. I said, you know, Jody, I'd give it to you, but your mama don't want you to have it. Now, I know it ain't right, but I don't like that. So the other day, here comes Meredith. And, you know, I have a different way of perspective of things. Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, Meredith loves candy. She likes chocolate. She goes, I love chocolate. So she goes up to her mama and says, Mama, I want some chocolate. No, you can't have that. You got to eat supper. It was like 4 o'clock. And she normally eats supper or dinner about 5:15, something like that. Now, that's going to ruin your appetite. So she goes to her grandmother, Mimi. She said, Mimi, I want some chocolate. No, you can't have that, sweetheart. You can have it after you eat your meal, but we're going to have supper. We call it supper. We'll have supper in about an hour. She goes, where is the man with the white hair? So I come walking out the bedroom and she goes, Grandfather, Grandfather. I say, yeah. I call her Eminem, Meredith Margot. I say, Eminem. I say, what, babe, what you want? She said, I want some chocolate. I said, how much you want? She said, I want a lot. I said, we got a lot. Come on, sweetheart. Jody, my daughter, said, now, Daddy, you can't give her that. And Kathy says, my wife, you can't do that. I said, excuse me. Whose name on this house? But Daddy, and Kathy says, Jesse, she's not going to eat her supper. I said, Right. Okay. She's not going to eat it at 5:15, but I promise you she will eat it before she go to bed. I don't know why y'all struggling over all this kind of stuff. And Mary goes, yes. So I gave her the candy. Come on, bless God. Get away from all this strife. I gave her the candy. Well, naturally, she was not hungry at 5:15. See that, Daddy? I said, hang on. You ain't going nowhere, are you? I said, are you hungry right now? No. Hang on. Oh, 6 o'clock. I want some beans and rice. She loves beans and rice. Y'all. She likes macaroni and cheese, all kinds of, you know. Boom, she ate a big bowl of macaroni and cheese and she ate her supper. And I looked at those two and I went. I said, what's the matter with y'all? It don't have to be at 5:15. She ate the chocolate. She got the food. I said, she said, you just disturbed your peace. I said, look at this. Everything's good. Look at the women. They don't believe a thing you say. It worked. Now, I know, but see, they're on time frames and schedules and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. Daddy, she got to go to bed at a certain time. Why? Sometimes you don't feel like going to sleep, do you? I know it's true. I know they're right and I'm wrong. So for their sake, I keep a little peace in the family. So I'll just sneak into her room, especially when she's sleeping in my house. I have a special. I bought her a Louis the 16th bed. You ought to see this thing. And I sneak in and she goes, I go, what you doing? She says, I'm not sleepy. I said, well, I'll sit here and talk with you a while. And we just talk about a little, and she talk about her little friends. And then all of a sudden I say, that's kind of fun. I never did do that before. I was gone all the time. She just passed out. I pull the cover up. What time did she go to sleep? I said, it don't make no difference. If I don't tell you, you won't know, and everything will be fine in the morning. It's called keep the peace, man. God's sake. And sure enough, she got up, and of course, she needed a nap the next day. Well, isn't that wonderful? You don't have to take care of them for a couple of hours. You got to look at the bright side of things. I know women don't believe in any of this, so this is my next point for you. Beware of irritability. This is what makes life good. It's called peace. Beware of irritability. It is a state of mind where you are easily provoked. Beware of irritability. It's a state of mind where you're easily provoked. See, peace is what makes life good. And learn to agree to disagree. Kathy said, you know, if you'd listen to me, we'd do that. I said, well, the Bible said iron sharpeneth iron, so get your iron out. Sharpen me. You'll have to convince me. And maybe I shouldn't, but I just don't see it that way. But just keep talking. But it's still not if I holler at her or say something or raise your voice or you have that sarcastic look, the irritability just shoots to the red, boy. So it's a state of mind where you're easily provoked. So there's been times I say, Kathy, don't provoke me. Now, there's sometimes I've used language I should not have used. I ain't talking about cussing. But like sometimes I go, hey, ha ha. Y'all got the revelation? Look at them women. One thing a woman don't like. Kathy's on the board of directors of Jesse the Planet's Ministries. So she has as much power as I got. I mean, yeah, she talks. But we was having a board meeting and she was talking. I was trying to get something. I went, Kathy. I saw my other board go. It was coming down, son. She go, don't you ever snap your fingers at me. I said, what? You want me to do this? I shouldn't have did that because the irritability level's already high. What? And one of my board said, let's pray. Kathy was right. I was wrong. I disturbed the peace of that meeting. So, hey, when you prove me wrong, I don't mind. I will repent. I say, Kathy, I apologize to you for snapping those fingers. I didn't mean it the way it sounded, but it came off like that, and I apologize. Forgive me. I pardon you. Okay, let's get back to the meeting here, glory to God. See, I do not keep thinking about it, but I shouldn't have done that because nobody likes that kind of stuff. I did this the other day. I had a lady. You know, when I go to a restaurant, I want to eat what I want to eat. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I want to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. So I come up and I go to, I said, you know, I had something on the menu last week. She said, yeah, we don't have it now. I said, but the chef can fix it, can't he? Well, yeah, but we don't have it now. I said, you know, that's why you'll never own a restaurant. She just looked at me. I said, you'll always work for someone. I said, go get the chef. I'm going to teach you something today. Kathy goes, back down, back down. Chef come, I said, yes, sir, Dr. Plans, give me help. I said, I want this. It's not on the menu, and I'm going to take care of you and your helper. And I said, sweetheart, I don't mean that sound hard. I'm going to take care of you, too. I said, because I know what you're thinking. Sometimes you've done something over, and they didn't tip you right, correct? Yeah. I said, but you don't know me. The chef knows me. Will I take care of her? Chef said, he'll take care of you. Well, they went and cooked the meal I wanted, came back. It was a blessing. I blessed that girl. I ain't talking about 10, 15% or 20%. I mean, I blessed. I gave her a 20%, whatever it is. I said, now come here. Put this in your pocket. Oh, man. Oh, Reverend. She said, anything you want. Anything. See, a little grease make a machine run good. I learned that from the Sicilians. You understand what I'm saying? I was raised with Italians. You do what you got to do. Now when I walk in, she goes, come to my table, Reverend. Just come. And I'm not bragging on that, but hey, this is what I wanted. I didn't feel bad about it, but maybe I should have said it in a better way. In your home life or in your church life, which is bringing me to this last part, in our relationship to the world. See, now I'm in the world. Write this down. Let us avoid the spirit in which strife originates. It's called occasions of discord. Let us avoid the spirit in which strife originates. It's called occasions of discord. This is in our relationship with the outside world. I'll give you an example. This is funny to me. Leroy and Carolyn Thompson are personal friends of mine. Okay. He lives in Baton Rouge. I live in New Orleans. All right. Which is about 48, 50 miles. So when we get to see each other, we spend our anniversaries together. And me and Kathy were married June the 6th, 42 years. And Leroy Thompson and Carolyn Thompson were married 41 years, June the 5th. So we always go somewhere and have a fun time. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Leroy. Leroy, believe in respect. You will not, he will not eat in the back of a restaurant. I've learned that. No, he ain't never going to the back no more. Because I've walked with Leroy. You start going there, you go, what's up? Hey, hey, where you going? I don't sit in the back. I want to sit right here. He said, I've been to the back too many times in my life. I can understand that. You know what I'm saying? Because remember when back before civil rights, when the black person wanted a hamburger, they couldn't go to the counter. They had to go to the back. He will not do that. So I understand that. So we're sitting there. And Leroy is a man that's very polite, but he expects to be served. So we're in Las Vegas, okay? We had the Cheesecake Factory. You ever been to one of those places? Nice. I like that place, you know. So we're sitting there. So I was sitting down there. He said, now, Kathy, you know how you talk. He said, now, this is your day, because it was June the 6th. This is your day, and whatever you want. Jesse, whatever you want. Your money don't mean nothing today. I'm about to say, yesterday, I did it all. He tried to buy it. No. Your money means nothing on June the 5th. I'm buying everything. And then we do it on June the 6th. So watch this. Now, you know, he likes to be served. Nice and everything. Here comes a boy. He goes, oh, hello, how y'all doing today? I said, we're doing fine. I'd like to get your drink on. It's real. Oh, that's such a beautiful outfit you have. He's talking to me. I go, thank you. I appreciate that. Can I get your drink on this? Kathy says, my mama taught me courtesy, social graces. I said, Kathy says, I'll have some. He said, excuse me, sweetheart. I'm talking to him. I will get yours in just a minute. Leroy, in a restaurant, said, you fired. Just like that loud. You fired. It scared me. Fired. He said, you can't fire me. I'll fire you from this table. You fired. I said, Leroy. If you order a salad, they're going to spit in it. You ain't going to even know they spit in a salad, Leroy. I don't want him here. He disrespected Kathy. You fired. Give me the manager. Talking that loud. I'm going. If people say, is that Jesse the Flan? No. Because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Sometime. Ask Prince Harry. He'll let you know. That's all I'm going to say about that. Hey, that's not true. If you are a person of notoriety, it's coming out. But by God, here come the manager. He said, I don't want him in here. I fired him from this table. Get me another waiter. Yes, sir, we apologize. And really sorry. Can't believe he respected my friend. You know who this lady is? And of course, the manager, he's trying to, you know. And I said to myself, I thought, what can I order that I'll make no without a shadow of a doubt? That somebody didn't spit on it. So they said, we got a thing. He said, what would you like to have? I said, I'll take a corn dog. Now, this is my day. Oh, Jesse, get something better than that. Corn dog. And when that corn dog came, I looked at that corn dog. I didn't lie, but I didn't tell the whole truth. He said, you're not very hungry? Not hungry. But, you know, Leroy was right. Man, shouldn't have done that. You follow what I'm saying? So let us avoid the spirit in which strife originates. It's called occasions of discord. Now, he was right. He was right. Don't misunderstand me. Totally 100% right. But we said it kind of loud. Oh, and that guy was just having a flaming fit. Whoo! So, as we were walking out, you know, Leroy, he walks and leans forward a little bit. That's how Leroy walks, you know. And right? He walks like that, you know. So I walked, that guy come out, I said, he goes, he's just flustered. I said, calm down, young man. He said, I didn't mean to be rude. I said, I understand. But the man hollered. I said, I understand. I said, he's really a good man. I said, you know, I said, think about it. I mean, I'm having a terrible day. I had a terrible morning before I come to work. I said, I understand. I said, remember, this is your life and your job. And if you want to be blessed, stay away from discord in any way, shape. And remember manners. Mom ever taught you manners? Oh, yes. I said, use them. You'll get a better tip every time. And if you don't, then you sowed it into their life, and you're better for it. You have a nice day. Thank you for talking to me. I said, it's fine. Now, I made sure Leroy didn't see me do it. I made sure Kathy didn't see me do it. But I got to thinking, we're going to leave a bad, bad taste in this guy's mouth. And the next person will catch hell. Well, I didn't even realize it. It calmed me down. And we were just in Las Vegas this year. I was just finished preaching for David Sheeran. I don't know if you know David Sheeran. Great guy. Word of Life, his name is his church. And I went to the Cheesecake Factory. He goes, did you remember me? I said, yes. How you doing? Oh, you just helped me so much. Can I wait on you? I said, yes, sir. Thank you. I said, Kathy, would you like to? Yes, ma'am. What would you like to drink? You see what I'm saying? You get away from the spirit of strife. Because that ain't going to help nobody. And you're liable to meet that person sometime again. Which brings me to the next point. There are some people who never pass a day without driving somebody crazy. And yet, they are totally unconscious of it. You already thought of those people. You thought, you went, oh. What did Lynn look at Mac for? I don't know, but she did. There are some people who never pass a day without driving somebody crazy. And yet they are totally unconscious of it. I used to think they were totally conscious of it. But no, there's a lot of people, they're totally unconscious of it. Totally, completely unconscious of it. So you have to work with that. This is in relationship to the world. You ever saw an old movie called My Man Friday? Anybody remember that? You see that movie? How the guest guys think he's teaching this guy, but actually it's this guy teaching him. Yeah, they're totally unconscious of it. Just totally, completely unconscious of it. And I think, no, they know what they're doing. No, some people are just not that smart in social graces. They may be smart in other things, but in social graces, they're not. They're not. So when you recognize that, you understand it. Usually somebody in your family. You know, everybody got somebody in your family that you don't want to know, don't want nobody to know they related to you. You just thought of it. Don't name them. Don't name them. But they're still part of the family. You figured out, how did they ever get into our family? Why? They're just going to drive you nuts. And you see, but they're totally unconscious of it. So really, you have to really explain it to them. And if you do it in a nice way, they'll go, oh, well, I didn't mean it like that. I wasn't thinking that. Well, anybody with common sense would interpret it your way, right? But some people just don't get it that way. They just don't. So what you do is you work with that. You see, this is so you can have a good life, bring peace in the family. So when you do invite people over, especially if it's on the holidays, you know they're coming. So, you know, you do your best you can and you have a nice day. And I've done that several times with some people in my family. I ain't saying who it is. And some in Kathy's family, whew, I ain't saying who it is. But I make sure at the end of the day, if it's Christmas Eve, we used to go to Kathy's mother's, or we have, you know, I said, you know, it's sure nice seeing you today. And I hear the devil say, you just lied. You know, no, shut up, you're the liar. I said, Merry Christmas. Yeah. I said, you know, it's really great. I said, you know, because if Jesus tarries, one day none of us will be here. So while we do have each other's life, let's enjoy it to the best we can. And then, of course, one of them will say, well, that's easy for you to say because you got a big house and a jet. And then you see the other family go, and this is the person that drives you nuts. I said, would you like to fly in? Oh, could I? Sure. And one of Kathy's sisters leaned up. She said, I wouldn't let that sucker get in there. Don't let him get in there. Tell him to go to hell. That's what you do. You tell him. All right, nice. See, that's not cussing in Louisiana. That's culture. I'm serious. Y'all thought I cussed right there. No, that's culture. I said, no, that'd be fine. Maybe one day you come over. I'd like you to see it. Oh. Oh, Jesse, you want a nice guy. No. I don't like being shot at, you know, with words and things of that nature. But you know what? Peace. I want to have a good time. It's the holidays. You see? And then eventually they'll learn. Which brings me to this last point. All needless aggravation must be avoided. We must not make ourselves voluntary martyrs. Just beat me. No. All needless aggravation must be avoided. We must not make ourselves voluntary martyrs. That's what Paul said. If it be possible. Sometimes it isn't. As much as lieth in you. What kind of the ability you have in your heart. Live peaceably with all men. There's some people I'm going to be honest with. If I name them, you know them. I don't particularly care to be around them. Maybe they don't particularly care to be around me. I don't know. Possible. I can't understand why. But I mean, you know, everybody has their own way of looking at things. But I can be friends. I couldn't go on vacation with them. Because you really find out who people are on vacation. They really expose themselves. I'll say this in close. When I had a staff of about 14 people years and years ago, I brought them all to Hawaii with their spouses. I paid for it, ministered to them. I took care of all that. I wanted it to be a blessing. I had sold a book and had some really great results. I said, you know, I'm going to bless people. They just loved it. This girl had been working for me for quite a while. And as far as I knew, she was a good worker. You know, I didn't get involved in her job or nothing like that. But we're all laying on the beach. And she was kind of endowed. Got the revelation? Think for a minute. The men already know. Women going. Heavily endowed. So, okay, that ain't none of my business. She stands up. Now, this is in front of Kathy. In front of Kathy's sister, Christine, who is Kathy's executive secretary. She says, Brother Jesse, what do you think of this? I thought to myself, oh, girl. Kathy just looks at her. Now, Christine goes, Chris, Kathy's sister just, man, I said, well, to tell you the truth, I never really looked. What? Wouldn't you like to have something like that? No, that ain't good. That ain't. No. I said, now you would never think anybody in a crazy mind would ever say such a dumb, stupid thing. But she did. Because, see, she's insecure. She said, well, you know, I know I'm older than most of the girls that came on this trip, but I think I have the best figure. I said, okay, fine, great. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. Well, you knew that day was destroyed. And I thought, you know, it's time for me to get off this beach right now. And I'm always, I like to read books. I'm an avid book reader. I have a phenomenal library. Oh, phenomenal library. I love books. I said, you know, I think I'm going to go back to the hotel and read this book. Okay, Jess. And Kathy knew, it's time for me to get out of here. And Christine said, as I was walking, I'd fire now. I said, no, I am not going to fire now. Oh, no, I ain't going to do that. She just got a little problem. I said, if I let you all, y'all going to kill this girl. No, I said, no, just hang on. We'll see how this thing works out. Well, when we all got back to the office, it didn't work out too well. And come to find out, she's having problems in her marriage and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, all she had to do, if you want a counseling session, I'll give you a counseling session. It's 3 points. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Now get out of here. I'm going to the house. Just, well, I know that I don't work in a church, but it works good for me. Well, you know, she no longer works for us. This is way back when. But you know, she never even thought that was wrong. I saw her years later. She said, you know, I loved working for you. I said, you know, you were a good employee. She said, you know, I did something I shouldn't have done on that beach. I said, yes, you did. I said, but I don't hate you for it. She said, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. I said, I understand that. She said, but all the other girls thought I did. I said, I can understand that too. I said, you know, men don't pick up on some things as quick as women do. I said, men see things totally different than women do. You got to understand that, especially women with women. I mean, it's night and day. Prime example, if you got a guy walking down this front here and he's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's my generation. You know, somebody that you think's really built good, you know, six pack, all that. You know what men say? Good. Look at that guy. That guy built, huh? Good. Look at that man. He must work out, buddy. Boy, I wish I looked like him. That's what 99 out of 100 men going to say in this church. You have a woman walk down, real nice dress, form fitting. She got a figure to knock out lights. And she's maybe nice as could be. She's not flirtatious, but she just got this fine figure. Women go, who does she think she is walking around here strutting herself? It's another thing. Because women say she's saying something. Am I right, ladies? Look at the women. And men don't want to say, oh, no, it is. No, no, no. So if you want the good life, make no comment on some fine foxy mama. Leave that alone. I don't know if I ever told you this, but this truth happened to me. I was looking for a pair of boots, Mac. I got to tell you, this will end this message. And I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I thought, I bet you I can find these, what they call the boots with the pimples, ostrich. You know, ostrich got them. I wanted a pair of ostrich. I call them pimples, you know, big. I want some big pimples, you know. And I said, man, I had been looking, and I was looking for a certain color. I couldn't find them. And so I talked to the pastor. I was preaching a meeting. He said, I'll tell you what, there's a place in the mall you ought to go to. They may have that. I said, okay. So I'm walking with Kathy, okay, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now watch this. There's this girl that walks past us in a very short dress. Short. Major short. Real short. And she got a great figure. Okay? Now watch this. The store would be like where this plant is. And here's an escalator right here that goes up to the second floor. So she walks past us like that. Kathy goes, oh, look at that. And I go, yeah. But see, when I got my mind on something, I'm looking for them boots. All of a sudden, I see that store. Now, I didn't realize that the girl starts going up the escalator, and I do this. Because I'm looking for the boots. See, the store, and she, Kathy still don't believe I'm looking for the boots. But God is my witness on a Holy Ghost platform. I never even seen the woman. I'm looking for the boots, and I saw the boots. They were in the down. They was like they had two racks of these boots. And I went, God, look at that. And Kathy lost her pee. What are you doing? And I looked at her like, are you crazy? What? I said, the boots. Look, the boots. I still have not seen the girl. And when she goes, I'm sorry, Jesse. I said, what? That girl with the tight dress. Where is she? Don't look. I said, I ain't looking. I said, I just want to get these boots. That happened 20 years ago. And every once in a while, just out the dark, was you really looking for those boots? Yes! I was looking for the boots. I didn't see the girl. You know when I got something on my mind, you get mad at me, I just do it. I'm focusing, see? But I mean, it was perfect. And everybody was watching me. I still, till today, did not see that girl go up that escalator. I spotted those boots. Boy, when I spotted those boots, that don't look good for a preacher. That disturbs the peace. And you have to explain it 20 years later. I says, God is my witness, Kathy. I don't even know who you're talking. I didn't even see the girl. I didn't pay that much attention when she passed me. Because, man, that guy told me that store was getting close. I'm looking. I mean, I saw her, but I really didn't even look at her image very much, you know. I just knew she had a short dress on. You could see that. Man, I had my mind. I'm going to get them boots with them big pimples. You know, those big, what do we call them? Quills. A full quill. That's what they call it. Full quill. And it turned out to be a great day. I want to tell you something, son. I never seen my wife get that mad in my life. I've seen Kathy mad, but not like that, buddy. But I guess she had a right to be mad if her husband doing something stupid like that. I mean, control yourself, fool. You know, that kind of stuff, you know. So that's what makes life peaceable. It makes it happy because you have peace in your life. Yeah. And if somebody accused you of something you didn't stand for what's right, say, I didn't do that. Now, it may look like I did, but it didn't. Now, don't lie if you did. That's a whole nother ball game. Most people know when you're lying and when you're not. So Kathy believes me, but she makes a joke about it. Nah. And I said, and every time I see that pair of boots, I still have that pair of boots in my closet. I think, what that girl look like? Which make her mad. I do that on purpose. I say, hey, Kathy, what? What did that girl look like? I think it's funny. But see, those are sarcastic words, and beware of irritability. Did you enjoy it this morning?